Welcome to the inaugural episode of The Budget Is No. Hi, I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Katie.
And what are we doing here today, Katie?
Well, we're in the business of connecting people, and we want to dive deeper into how other industries and organizations and individuals connect with people, resulting in a lasting and meaningful experience.
And I think these are all things that we've kind of talked about. We happen to be coworkers, so we tend to see each other in the hallway, or we'll text each other cool things that we've seen in real life, whether it's being at a sporting event or places and things that we've been to, or even things we've seen on the internet.
Yeah, and we just want people to be inspired by this and know that you don't have to have $1 million to do certain things to connect people and to have a great experience. I mean, some of the coolest experiences that we've talked about over the years don't cost us anything to produce and implement. So
I tell my boss all the time that we kind of see these like mega events. Like we see the Super Bowl, we see, to name drop it, exhibitions, we see CES, and we see all of these huge events. And it's so hard sometimes to see the things that they do there, whether it's beacons or augmented reality. Like, it's really hard to see these things that we know cost so much money. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get that initial opposition of there's no money in the budget. So how can we take a kernel of that and apply that to whatever you may be doing? A small survey or a small experience or a small campaign that you can do to make just as big of an impact.
Yeah, so I think, which leads us to why our podcast is going to be named The Budget Is No. Because again, we are in the business of connecting people and making experiences, and we always don't have an endless amount of money to work with. So we kind of have to make it work with what we got. And so this point of the podcast is to take things from real life experiences and giving people those nuggets of how you can actually do it with no budget.
Yeah, and just because you have no budget doesn't mean you can't do things that are big. You can still surprise and delight, and you can still kind of create that experience for your attendee. So for our first episode, we're going to dive into Taylor Swift's new release called Me, which happened last week, which if you have not heard it yet, you are probably one of
the only people on the planet.
I think she just saw that there was 82 million people who have watched it.
Yeah, this morning it was like 82 million watched it within like the first 24 hours of the premiere.
And that's crazy. That's insane. More than, I mean, how many people watch Game of Thrones?
I think more than that, maybe. I don't know. I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I don't know. I'm one of the people that doesn't watch that.
I don't watch
it. And I'm calling out people that don't watch Taylor Swift, so there we go.
So, full disclosure, we're both Swifties, although Katie is definitely more than myself.
But I would like to clarify that I am not a fan, I'm a friend, and, you know, I'm just like Taylor's best friend, so it's totally fine and normal.
And I didn't even know that there was different levels of distinction of Tay-Tay's friendship, so...
Well, she doesn't know that I'm a friend, but I know I'm a friend.
So I have a lot to learn. Definitely. But regardless of your friendship status with Tay-Tay, we can learn from her elaborate pastel-filled marketing and calculated strategy of her new single.
Yes, and anybody that knows Taylor Swift knows that everything is calculated.
There are 5 lessons that we've gleaned from her new single debut that can easily be modified for use in your own event. So the first point we have is build excitement. So Taylor Swift's mysterious announcement on April 13th kind of kicked it all off.
Yeah, and again, for all of us Swifties out there, we know that 13 is her favorite number. So basically everything that she does involves the number 13. So it was, you know, not that much of a surprise that she was going to, you know, essentially give us a little sneak peek on 413. So yeah, that was just like another signature thing that she always does. But again, that's something that you could take into your own event. Like if you have a signature number or you do a signature thing, always releasing something on the same day every year, or, you know, opening up like the registration on a certain date and like having a meaning behind it. something that can kind of connect your audience on a deeper level, because they know that, like, that's what that means.
And she kept on releasing these announcements. I think she did, like, the big announcement on the 13th, but then released, like, more stuff on her Instagram, right?
Yeah, she did. She kept, like, putting different hints out there, and everything was dropping on 4/26, and she said that, like, on 4/13, and it, obviously, again, that's like the 13 number, and so it's 13 days after she said that she's going to be dropping something. So again, it's like she's so calculated about everything that she does, but again, it's something that you could implement within your own event.
And I think too, what I was impressed with, not being as big of a friend of Taylor Swift, that some of the things, the Easter eggs that she had, like the color palette, the vibe, there was some snake imagery. I believe there was some imagery around her cats. Some of those things I didn't really understand how they were tied in, but it was still enjoyable and mysterious to someone who didn't know as well. So I think that's a point that you may have different attendees or people involved in your event or brand that kind of know different amounts of things.
Yeah. Like, I mean, because you technically you have like totally different demographics. And so, you know, you have people that have been following Taylor since she came on the scene when she was, you know, 13 years old. And you have other people who are like newer fans who, you know, might just like a few songs, but the way that she's able to still like capture everybody is something that you could definitely take away with, because she does it in a universal way of like making everybody feel included. Whether or not you catch those Easter eggs, like she puts those in for the people who know it. But whether you know it or not, like, you can still be entertained by what she's doing.
Yeah, definitely. I think my favorite person, I was looking at Twitter, and I found someone who even counted up the number of clouds and briefcases in her video. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen her video, like, go be number 8 million or 82 million in one to watch it. But they even were saying the 13 clouds are for her 13 years of her career, and the 7 briefcases are for her 7th album, which means that they think it's going to be on July 13th, 7/13th. So
that makes sense, because it'd be her 7th album on the 13th day. And we all know that she always releases it on the 13th of whatever month it's going to be.
You see?
Also another Easter egg. I bet you didn't know that.
No, I did not. I feel like I need to brush up on my Taylor Swift.
Taylor does not send out a stalking warrant for me.
So for our second event lesson, we have don't forget the on-site experience. So let's talk a little bit about the Gulch mural.
Yeah, so this Gulch mural, Taylor commissioned this mural to be painted on this big warehouse wall in Nashville, Tennessee, which again, we all know that that's where Taylor's from. So she used her influence within that town to do this, you know, huge mural. And again, all of it was based in this like pastel colors, this butterfly motif, which is what she's been teasing us leading up to this. And people started seeing this mural go up, and Swifties kind of like jumped on it, and they're like, oh my God, this has to be Taylor Swift. Like, she has to be the one doing this. Like, where is this mural coming from? But it was like a huge secret and nobody really knew. So, you know, again, it's just like being able to use the resources that you have to create some excitement for people for like an on-site experience. Because then what happened with this mural was on 4/26, which was, again, the date that she kept saying, you know, like, wait for 4/26, wait for 4/26. She was at the mural on 4/26, and she had already built so much excitement that people showed up in the thousands. Her fans showed up in the thousands in front of this mural on that day, just hoping that she was going to be there. They had no idea if she was actually going to be there or not. People just like basically were going off their instincts, thinking that she was going to be there. And sure enough, she shows up and like takes over all of Nashville.
And seeing the pre-show effort with the butterflies and the pastel and the kind of the mood palette she was creating on Instagram, kind of in real life, like at the experience, like we've reached the lead up time, we're actually on site, if you will, at the album release or at the secret Swiftie location, having that tie in.
Absolutely. And that's what she was able to do with all of that. And again, like building that excitement to see if, you know, she was actually going to be there for him.
And I think that could be done at, if you had a welcome party or some sort of kickoff event, some sort of keynote, anything to kind of encourage people to take those pictures, make those memories, share that experience when they go home to their friends or coworkers who may not have been able to be at the event.
Again, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, it's all about that experience. And we all know that people want to get that perfect Instagram shot. So if you give them a reason to have it, like, that's just more advertisement and more marketing for your own event too.
Definitely.
After the fact.
And she did something for the people who couldn't attend. So there's another idea that you have to create this sense of FOMO, so fear of missing out. So what do you do for those people who can't be at your event during the 3 or 5 days that it might be a conference or the couple hours that it might be an event? So I think she did a really cool job at this.
Yeah. So what Taylor did with the, she came out basically a few days before saying that she was dropping a new song, but on the same day, like, the video was going to be premiered too for this song. And so for this premiere of the video, she did on YouTube, and she had basically a waiting area leading up to the hour that this was actually going to be released.
And let me tell you, I was in it at like 11:58. Well, actually 10:58, because it dropped midnight on the East Coast,
time, yeah.
11 p.m. here. So I was in there at 10:58. And I swear to you, there was 157,000 people already in there. And they're leaving comments and they're making predictions and they're just trying and they're so excited.
Yeah, like, people were literally just so excited to see what she was gonna do that, like, people are already posting comments. And she told her fans, like, she was gonna be a part of that too and answering questions and stuff about the video. So, like, just giving her fans maybe a sneak peek of what was gonna happen, or like just a slight chance of maybe Taylor Swift is gonna like respond to my comment, like, that alone is going to get you the excitement, and people are just going to be like so psyched about whatever it is that you're dropping because you've just built so much excitement leading up to it.
And the idea is to create this sense of FOMO in a general sense.
Yes.
So that people will attend the next time.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's definitely something that you can take within your own event. And again, like, your event could be for 100 people that you're doing, or it could be for 50,000 people, but you can still create that FOMO for them, whether it be through, you know, teasing them about certain things that are going to be happening on site, and then actually doing, you know, some sort of like Facebook Live type of recording, whatever it may be. But giving people a sneak peek into what they're actually missing is key.
So the next lesson we learned from Taylor Swift was to make it easy for people to experience. So here we saw she dropped her single, obviously, on Apple Music, iTunes. Are they the same thing?
You know, I don't really know. I tried to download it from iTunes, and it was like way too complicated. And so therefore I went to Spotify because I knew she had it on Spotify.
She's definitely there on Spotify. She was posting content on Instagram. She had a custom filter. I'm assuming she was on all of the other social
media. Yeah, she was on Amazon Music too. I know she dropped it there. She was obviously on Facebook, YouTube. I mean, basically every single platform she was on it. And so, again, I think that it made it easy for people. So if you're not a Spotify listener, it's not like you had to download just Spotify to hear it. If you don't have Apple Music, it was fine because you could go to Amazon Music. I mean, she had every single outlet, which I think was key because it made it easy for people to be able to experience it through the outlet that they wanted to experience it from.
And I think, too, it might be daunting to think you have to be on everything. I don't personally think you have to be on everything. I think you need to look at your audience and figure out where they are. If they're attendees, like, find what social media is they're most on. If it's for businesses, find if are they on LinkedIn, are they on Twitter. Like, pick the top 2 or 3 things and really work on creating specific content. I would rather you not have a Facebook than a really badly updated Facebook.
Absolutely. That is key, though, because I think that people try to cover all platforms and they spread themselves too thin, and therefore they're not delivering the content that their audience is looking for. when they really just need to narrow down, hey, our audience only responds to Facebook and Twitter. Like, that's where they're at. So I'm not going to have an Instagram page. Like, that's not for my audience. And I think that's where it's key to know who your audience is and exactly what you're wanting to deliver to them.
Agree 100%. The last lesson that we have is to consider unlikely partnerships. So Nashville, we know last week was crazy, and not just with bachelorette parties. We had the NFL draft happening also at the same time. It turns out that Taylor made an appearance at some of the draft festivities.
Yeah, so that alone, like being able to leverage the media that was already in Nashville for the NFL draft, because as we know, that is obviously a huge deal. And there's so much media coverage that goes into that. And so the fact that Taylor just happened to piggyback on that, I mean, I don't think that that's coincidence.
No.
I think there's something else going on there too. And I will give you my hot take in just a minute.
We're back from the break with Katie's hot take on what future partnerships with the NFL may look like for Taylor Swift. What are your theories?
So I think that this is all a lead up for Taylor to be the halftime show for the 2020 NFL Super Bowl.
But wait, I thought she couldn't do that because she had that endorsement deal with Coke and the Pepsi is,
I know,
halftime.
It's been like, yeah, so Pepsi is the halftime endorser for the Super Bowl, and everybody's always argued that Taylor can't do it because of her endorsement with Coke. But us Swifties haven't seen a single thing with her and Coke in years. So I'm thinking that that deal is probably either run out or it's done, because why else would she be in Nashville? Just happen to be pairing up with the NFL. Like, everything she does is so calculated. That would not just be, you know, off the cuff kind of thing. Like, there's a partnership developing there.
There are no coincidences when it comes to Taylor Swift.
There are not. So I think that, again, there are certain points that like everybody could take out of Taylor Swift's like new single release debut. You can do some of these things without having a large budget. It's really like honing in on who your audience is and giving them what they want. And so, again, we obviously don't have the budget that Taylor Swift has. We don't have the, you know, millions of dollars to commission artwork at our shows, but we do have the ability to create really unique experiences for our end user.
And I think that just takes a little bit of getting to know your audience, seeing what tools you have available, and really just kind of crafting a strategy.
Absolutely. So I hope everybody enjoyed our first podcast of The Budget Is No. We're super excited to continue this journey with you guys.
And make sure you tell all of your friends and coworkers about us. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it be on your phone or online. Make sure you like us on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And we're also have a event newsletter that will go out every other week when we're not talking to you directly over the airwaves. So you can still get some of our insights and thoughts as we continue to look at all things events and anything on the internet.
And connecting people. We look forward to connecting with y'all.